It got worse and worse and worse. My throat was real sore. Woke up coughing. Throat real sore. Woke up coughing. And I thought, you know, around 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, when I get up tomorrow, I'm going to be awful. Right? But about 7:30, I woke up and I was like, I feel kind of normal. Like, you know, normal. Well, by normal. And then the phone rang. It was a FedEx people. And for 3 seconds, he was like, hello? And I was like, and there were no words come out. He goes, well, you must not need these packages, or I can't get a hold of you one. I'm like, I can't talk. Hold on. So anyway, that progressively got better throughout the day. And I'm hoping, I've had like hour good, hour bad. I'm hoping this is a good hour throughout the day. And I hope I don't get any of you guys sick. That's why I'm kind of keeping my distance from you. Have I gave you enough time to get to Galatians chapter 6? I'm going to try to keep my voice down a little bit tonight. Yeah, see how good that works. Listen, Galatians, if you have it on the last probably 4 or 5 Wednesdays, probably 6 Wednesdays to be sure, we've went through Galatians, and I think we're going to go through Ephesians next on Wednesday nights. I'm being honest with you, I'm not a great teacher, and I don't know if I'm how I do preaching-wise, but I want to say this. This book has helped me as a Christian. This teaching it to you has helped me better be a better Christian. It set me free in some areas. It's made me understand and relate better in some areas, and it's literally given me a whole, I mean, I don't know why God has just opened this thing up to me. That we have a lot of liberty and freedom as a Christian to serve God and to serve God at full capacity. You know what I'm saying? We don't have a whole lot of things holding us back. With that, we got to understand we don't have a whole lot of things holding us back. We got a lot of liberty. What are we doing with it? You know what I'm saying? So this Galatians chapter 6 is like a fireworks show. You know what the favorite, every guy in here's favorite part of the fireworks show is, right? It's the finale. And if you're not like that, you're the wrong. You can leave this church. I'm just kidding. The finale is the best part because they take all the fireworks and I wish the whole show was that way, right? I've been to some fireworks shows where you thought the finale was, you go, that's the finale, and it wouldn't. And then, that was the finale, and it wouldn't. And then when it fell out, you go, yeah. I only can say finale two times without messing it up. But this was Paul, Galatians chapter 6, shooting the finale fireworks to the Galatians. So there's a lot of information in it. And I've taught it like two or three different times. I've preached it somewhere else. And it's like you forget how to preach because the words, especially in the King James, it almost feel like you're going one way, then you're going another way. But you're not. So I'm going to kind of help you with that. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken. Are y'all there? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If a man be overtaken in a fault. Now listen, I love how it puts this. This is overtaken. That means moment of weakness. I was doing something, and next thing you know, I'm involved in something I shouldn't have been involved with. And automatically our minds kind of go to the farthest gutter that we can find. But sometimes it could be how you treat somebody in a restaurant. That's one of my favorites. How you treat somebody who works with you. How you treat your spouse. How you treat your children. Amen? Are we good now? Because all of a sudden, we could be going throughout our day praising God. Hallelujah. He's on fire. I'm doing great stuff. I'm getting comprehension out of the Word of God like I've never before. Every time I read something, God's showing up. I'm going to church. People are getting saved. I'm worshiping. I'm learning. I'm applying. But all of a sudden, somebody says something and it trips something. Next thing you know, you're overtaken in a fault and somebody knows about it. Well, God knows about it and you know about it. But apparently, this is one of them things that comes on all of a sudden. And it's huge, and you didn't think that was capable of you anymore. Now, we can go them farthest places. We can go to the drink. We can go to the line. We can go to the lust. We can go that. If you want to, that's fine. But I'm just saying this is not some kind of normal operation. This thing was, you were overtaken in a fault. And if it's in there, if Paul wrote it to the Galatian church, which he didn't write it to sinners, he wrote it to Christians to let them know it is very possible for you to be overtaken in a sin, in a fault. Ain't that neat that he wrote it? I'm glad it's in there. Because if it ain't in there, you think, man, if I messed up, then, you know, I'm just way off track. But I love how he writes. Paul writes better than anybody in the Bible when he says this, "Ye which are spiritual." That's important. Ye that are spiritual. You might make a note right here somewhere, even on a side piece of paper. The spiritual ones are not the police. The spiritual ones are not the one that's like, aha, gotcha. I nailed you. You're a horrible, you didn't do this. You're not as good as I. That's not spiritual. A spiritual person comes in meekness. And meekness is power under control. The power to condemn, the power to call sin, sin. But yet coming in a way and saying, can I help you get up? Can I see the mistake too. I see the error too. Let me go ahead. I see the sin too. But let me sit down with you and you put your arm around me and I'll put my arm around you and let's get up together. Because I know this is not you. God, I wish I was... Because sometimes you need to hear that because the devil's going to say this is you. You can lose your identity as a Christian sometimes real quick. And you don't need to be told. The last thing sometimes you need to be told, I'm not talking about somebody's out there living this way. I'm talking about somebody who was overtaken in a fault. The devil's already going to be on your ear. Don't go by the church. Don't ever stand in that pulpit. Don't get in that choir. Don't go to Sunday school. Don't do that because look who you are. You need somebody who's going to say, this is not who you are. I've served with you. I've worshiped with you. And guess what? I need you. I'm going to need you to stand up because one day this might be me sitting here. And it's quite possible that it can be me here. And that's what that scripture's saying. Consider this can be you. Ain't that good? Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I have some friends in the faith who will sit down in the mess with me and say, all right, let's stand up together. Amen? That's good. And if you don't have that person, pray that God shows you who they are. Man, I am so glad that's in there. And considering thy, I love how he says that. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Taking that man, can you imagine? I know I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, but I want you to get this. You know how easy it is to look at somebody else when they've fallen and go, man, I'm doing all right. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's in our human nature sometimes. Man, I couldn't believe they did that. Right? We got to get up. That's not what Christ Jesus could have done that to everybody. I mean, when he showed up, he could have said, oh, yeah, look at you guys. No, what he did is he got up under the cross. Whose cross? Our cross. Whose sin? Our sin. Right? And he didn't say, oh, I can't believe it. He went, you're going to need help getting, I'm going to have to bear your burden. I'm going to have to carry. Listen, there are some things, golly, I hate to say this because tomorrow I'll be in it. There are some things I really don't think I'll do. There are certain sins I just don't think I'm going to have to. Okay, let me just go ahead and say, I'm not going to rob a bank. I'm just not going to. Are you all right? I mean, logically, at my lowest point in life, I'd always rationalize. I don't want to spend that much time in jail. Amen? There's too many cameras. And for the simplest thing, the dye pack will get me. I know it. You know what I mean? And I don't want that all over me, you know? Just simple things like that, right? Comic relief. But there are certain things, and so when I run into people who are overcoming a fault, they might be overcoming a fault that I'm thinking, there ain't no way I'd ever do that, right? That's when it even takes more of you to get up underneath their burden and help them carry that and say, hey, this could be me too. You know what I'm saying? Because one day, guess what? You might fall into your trap, overcoming your fault, overcoming your sin, and they're sitting there going, I would never do that. But you know what? One day, they came along and sat down with me and helped me get back up when I probably knew they had no idea what I was really going through. And you know what? To be honest with you, everybody in this room knows this. You don't have to know everything that somebody's going through to minister to nobody. You don't have to do that. You just have to be willing to listen most of the time. You know, people pay counselors millions of dollars every year, billions probably. And you know what a good counselor does? Listens. They ask you a question and let you talk for an hour. And then you pay them by the hour. And they go, how do you feel? I feel better. You know why? Because you talked it out. Amen? Or just trying to get the information out of your head and out in there, and then you can, you know, rationally. That's counseling 101. Let them talk. Right? All right, so guess what? Sometimes you just got to let somebody talk. Listen, this is not who I am. It's not where I'm at. Exactly. And you might have to go through a lot of tears. You might have to sit in the mud for a while. And you might have to help them put their mascara back on. Fix her hair. Oh, never mind. Guys, you might have to sit there and go, man, I could be watching the game right now, and this guy's just killing me. Huh? You might have to turn the TV off and listen to somebody talk for a while. You might have to go over there. Hey, can you come over here right now? You go, yeah. And knowing, I don't want to go. Well, one day you're going to have to make that call yourself. Amen? All right, good. Hey, is that good? Ain't that rich? We're going to get some places, so let's go. Verse 3, if any man think himself, now this is really good. I wanted to show you the context of how he does this right here. Because let me read it. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. The first thing I always go to when I read this, it's always be careful, because the person fall into a sin, then you might fall into a sin, right? And you're going to need that same. So we went through that. But there's another aspect of it. Okay? There's another aspect. Paul wanted to show you another aspect. It's this. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceive himself. Now, here's the other part. When you think you're too good to help somebody. Not that you're going to, that one day you're going to fall into a mess, one day you can sin. Nope. That's just not worth your time. That's just not worth me helping. I've got more important things to do than that. Man, you know what that means to God? That's, you're not the spiritual ones. Amen? You're self-centered. You can see that. Amen? I used to do this when I've had a lot of experience in full-time big ministries. And we would have a lot of people come through ministries. You'd have governors, mayors, senators, councilmen, city councilmen, sheriff, everybody, you know, they'd all want to come because on certain holidays and certain times it's good to come in and get a picture and all of you're feeding people and you're doing, and they do great. You get a lot of money. That makes sense. But I also seen people in ministry who would walk past a starving person or a hurting person to shake hands with a senator, right? To walk past a person who needs your ministry, yet you go to the governor or the mayor and say, oh, it's a pleasure meeting you, sir. Hey, well, get out of the way. That's the mayor. Don't you know who that is? You understand what I'm saying? Where the whole reason for you to be there is to reach the person that you're there to minister to. You're never more important than your ministry. And ministry, let me tell you this, is people. And most of the time, it's broken people. They need you the most. At the emergency room, you know who gets most of the attention? Or at the hospital? Emergency room. Well, you hope so. Unless you go to Erlang. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that out loud. I'm being mean. All right. Verse 4, it kind of changes gears. But let every man, here's the part gets me every time. But let every man prove his own work. And then shall ye have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Man, every time, man, I used to read it and I'm thinking, did that just say the opposite of what the first two or three verses said? It doesn't. Here's what it's saying. Everybody we talked about in the beginning has to carry their own pack. You good? If you're the one that was overcoming the fault, or you're the person that's helping, or the person who's saying, I'm too good, I'm too much, right? I'm too big for that, right? Every single person has to carry, and they're responsible for everything they do. Amen? Now, all that's in your pack. Everything you're carrying is in your bag. You're a Christian. This is not to lost people. This is to Christians. And guess what? If you're going to help somebody, you're going to help somebody. If you're going to be overtaken in a fault, you're going to be overtaken in a fault. You're accountable for that. So it says, take a good inventory of your own walk with Christ. Whew. So the person who was overtaken in a fault, yes, it's great to be rescued. Yes, it's good to minister to. But somewhere in the thing, you need to go back and figure out how you got overtaken. Were you hungry? Were you tired? Were you lonely? Were you bored? Were you starting to slip? Were you like an old car you started missing before you totally quit at it? Does that make sense? I don't know if I threw that last part in there just for fun. Do you understand what I'm saying? You got to go back. Even though you can be totally restored, sometimes you got to run back. Wait a minute, why did I get overtaken? Because a lot of the things I just said are very, very true. If I'm all alone, if I'm bored, if I'm angry, my feelings are hurt, then I can get overtaken in a sin really quickly. All right, I thought to myself, man, I had the perfect opportunity to lift up my brother and sister in Christ, but guess what? I looked right at them and I moved on. Don't sit here and look at me like a deer in headlights. It's happened to everybody in here. Know to do right and go, man, I just don't know if I got the time for all that right now. That's happened. It's happened to everybody in here. And if it hadn't happened, it will happen. I hate to, you've got to take inventory of your own backpack. Did I do what I was supposed to do? Sometimes we think about sin. We think about all the hard sins, but knowing to do right and doing it not is a sin too. Amen? I think they're harder to get over than messing up. You know what I'm saying? A sin, right? Just an out and out. I'm just saying, listen, those one where God says, hey, go over and take care of that. And he haul around with God, right? That's it. That's harder for me to get over than stuff that I'm just disobedient in. Amen? Because that's a thing where God was saying, hey, I want your obedience. I want to use you right here. You're not doing that. The only thing you're doing wrong is you're not doing what I want you to when I want you to do it. Does that make sense? Are y'all getting that? So I wanted y'all to see that right there. Verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I'm sitting there going, Paul, what are you talking about? And then I kind of broke it down. If somebody's feeding you spiritually, you bless them physically, period. Now, I know, don't look at me and say, well, the preacher's preaching about money. No, it's like this. If the ox is treading out the grain for you, feed the ox. All right? That's it. That's what it comes down to. If you got somebody who's sowing into your life spiritually, you sow back into that ministry, period. With your time, your prayer, your love, your money, whatever it is, ever would be your substance, you put back into it. Man, that's one thing that I think most Christians in America have a hard time doing. We like to consume, but we never like to put back into. We love to consume it, but we don't want to sow into it. We just think, man, it just miraculously happens. None of it miraculously happens. Amen? But if you get blessed out, especially if it's spiritually feeding your soul, if your kids are being saved, you're changed, they're changed, you say, man, I'm going to put some my blood, sweat, and tears, money, and time back into that. Simple. Simple. Man, Paul's like, hey, he just threw it in there. That's one of them little fireworks that shoot up over here and go, psst. I'm sorry. I said it's fireworks. I just want y'all to get that. Verse 7, be not deceived. Now, this is the meat right here. This is, golly bum, this is spiritual. This is big boy, big girl Christianity right here. It's bottom line, okay? But it's so simple, break your teeth. It's simple. Y'all good? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Golly bum, that's just a simple concept. Listen, you ain't got to be a theologian. You don't have to be some wise sage. You don't have to be. You just figure this. If you put the seed in the ground, you're going to reap what it is. Amen? And listen, it gets even more simple. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting. Man, it's just simple. And are you sowing to the, man, people say, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how it happened. What'd you do last month? What'd you do the month before that? What'd you do the year before that? You know what I mean? That's why you're having the crop. Man, I'm not a farmer by no means. But I have put some grass seed in the ground recently. Some of it's coming out. Some of it. You know why? Sowed it. I didn't go out there and I wouldn't, when I was looking at the dirt, I wasn't expecting potatoes. Amen? I wasn't expecting anything. Here's what I was looking. You know what I was looking for? Green. That's all I was looking for. Let there be one hint of green. I've got more green in my driveway than on my road. Apparently, we spilled some seed on the road. But I was proud that grass is on the road. Sorry. You understand what I'm saying? But guess what? When you sow it, it's not like, man, I don't know how that ever happened. It's because you put it out there. Listen, when you do that, when you do it physically, words you say, actions you perform, that can come back. It don't mean it's always going to come back. Don't always mean it's going to be a big bumper crop. But let me tell you this, what you sow, it can. It can. You know what? I've been saved, I don't even know how many years now, since 2004. But you know, I still probably got some crops out there. I probably still got some sin crops out there. If I ran into the right person at the right time at the right place, I could have a person say, you know what, you ain't nothing but. And if I thought about it, I'd go, you're right. You're right. You are a seed that I forgot about. Hey, man, you're a crop. Man, that's an old crop. Somebody canned you and kept you, right? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Right? You was preserved, right? But guess what? It's still possible. But guess what? To the spiritual side is the same aspect. Man, I used to think this all the time. I'm wasting my time. There's been Wednesdays, there's been Sunday mornings, there's been I have preached, and drove, man, I've got in the car from Arkansas or Indiana. Man, I have gotten a car on my, man, that was the worst. That was stupid. That was dumb. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Man, I wouldn't ask me to come back there for nothing. Come back the next year. Man, I got saved on that night. Man, that changed my whole life. I've been saved all last year with this, done that. Man, me and my family saved. We got in church, done this. They're going, oh, yeah, that was that awful meeting. Right? You're sowing and you're reaping. Whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's either to the spirit or to the flesh. And that's the concept. I used to break this down as like, why do you keep, let me give you the other verse. I almost ran right into the other verse. We go to verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them, who are of the household of faith. No, I skipped a verse, didn't I? Verse 9. Go back to verse 9 because I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go right back and get it. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Paul just comes, man, it's like a cheerleader. And he tells you the simplest thing. Don't quit. Don't quit. Guys, everybody in this room is going to be tempted to quit. Quit church, quit God, quit. Why? Because all the different things happen. Don't quit. Why? Because Jesus didn't quit on you. Jesus didn't quit on you. Don't quit on him, okay? You've told some people God is good. Remember that you told them. And guess what? One day they might come here looking for you. And you only want two answers on that. Maybe three. They're in heaven. They're here. Let us go get them. Or they're somewhere else serving the Lord. Amen? Not, hey, they just blew away like a tumbleweed. We ain't seen them forever. Last time I heard they're doing this. You know, that's not what you want to do. Right? Because don't be weary in well-doing. Because there's a promise there. If you keep sowing, you'll reap. Amen? If you keep sowing, you'll reap. Let me finish. This is a great firework right here. I want to finish somewhere else, but I think I'm going to stop right here. Watch this. As we have therefore opportunity, guys, y'all have opportunity to serve God. Let us do good unto all men. Uh-oh. Here you go. You ready? Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Challenge, right? You're supposed to treat everybody good. But then when you come into here, and when I'm not meaning this wall, but when I'm talking about the people of faith, you're especially supposed to treat them good. If you, let me give this to you. If you ever have a situation where your biggest enemy and your biggest problem and your biggest thing is the church people, that is a perfect time for you to go to God and ask Him to fix your heart and your mind. Amen? Because if that is the case, the devil has turned you and maybe somebody else. Let me say it again. He's turned you and maybe somebody else. And the and maybe is an and maybe. But if you get up in the morning and that person sticks up, you know, I can't stand it all, and that's a brother and sister in Christ, the devil's got you twisted up. And the best thing you can do to that situation is go to God and say, give me a heart to love that person, have compassion for that person, and let me turn it around. Because if the enemy wants that, that means me and that person together is a threat to the enemy. Me and that person together can do great work, or we can spend, at the least, we can spend less time worrying about each other and worrying about the things that God would have us to do. Ain't that neat? I'm being honest. And you say, why do you preach like that? Because I've been around church for a while. And I listen to people, and they're like, you know what I'm doing? You know so-and-so and sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. Mm-mm. We got a big old devil. And the next person is even harder person to beat sometimes. This guy. That person I shave and brush his teeth every morning, he's a monster. The devil and him team up sometimes, they're hard to beat. Right? Then you got people who are operating for the devil. Right? So why in the world are you going to kill your own people? Because that's what the devil would want you to do. Friendly fire. Amen? Have you learned anything out of Galatians? I'd encourage you to go and read the rest of this, to read the rest of this chapter, and we're going to start in Ephesians. These letters are to the churches. And you know what? The one thing I want out of our church in this next year, one, we want to be a praying church, but I want to be a wise church. And when I say wise, I don't mean like we're so wise. I want to be biblically wise. When somebody asks you what you believe and how you think about the Word of God, I want you to be able to give them an answer. I don't want you to just be able to say, man, God's good up at our church. Man, preach is good, sing is good, it's good, good. That's good. But then you need to be able to tell them why it's good. What do y'all believe? Y'all believe in eternal salvation? Do you believe in the rapture? Do you believe that your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future? You know? Those are questions you're going to ask. And when somebody says, well, I don't believe that way, you know, good. That's how we believe. That's how I read the Scripture. That's how it's preached to me, right? What kind of church you got up there? What do I got to look like? What do I got to do when I come through that front door? That's all you got to do is come through the door. We got a hospital bed. We got a pew right there for you. Amen? We're a big emergency room. And you can have somebody else's hospital bed for a day. Amen? We'll move hospital beds. Y'all good? Let's all stand. I'm not going to have y'all...